Oh, let's hold them up and see them. Amen. Oh, boy, that's good. That's good. Hallelujah. God's Word is life-giving for us, isn't it? Jesus said, my words, they're spirit and they are life. Amen. What? She's giving me a look here. I'm in trouble. I'm sorry. Well, open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. I want to remind you today about really the key, one of the great keys to the kingdom. We want to talk about faith today because it is the master key to our covenant with God is faith. And you know, sometimes, you know, you say, well, you know, you guys teach and preach on faith too much. Well, I don't think so. I want to tell you, when everybody has all the victory that God has ordained for us and provided for us, when we've received the fullness of the blessing of the covenant and the promises of God, then maybe we can say that we've reached the zenith of teaching faith. But you know, a lot of times we have to be stirred up in our remembrance, don't we? Amen. If you're a student of the Bible, even a casual reader of the Bible, you will find out that there are many themes that are just repeated over and over, aren't they? I mean, you know, if we're not careful, you know, we become like, I remember Paul talking about when he was in Athens, and you know, and he was up there where all the philosophers met each day, and they were always coming, he said, to hear something new. And if we're not careful, we can become like that. We're wanting something new. Oh, Pastor, give me something new. Well, I got news for you. There's not anything new, but I want to tell you, there's plenty that's fresh. Amen. God's Word, God's truth is fresh when we open our hearts and receive that Word. Now, Hebrews 11:6, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified today, but you follow along with whatever you're reading from. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God. Well, that's a pretty important reason to be talking about faith, isn't it? That's a pretty important reason to understand faith. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and, everybody say and, that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. So here's the thing. The first reason that we need to remind ourselves and understand the importance of God is this, that you cannot come to God. Without faith, you cannot come to God. Now, a lot of things that we think are coming to God or not coming to God because they're not done in faith. They're religious. Now, they sound like the real. Amen. But unless they are done in faith, in understanding faith, we're not really coming to God. I know a lot of people that pray a lot, but just because you pray doesn't mean you're praying in faith. And if we're not praying in faith, we're not making our connection to God. If we don't make a connection to God, our praying is no good. Do you know there are people up in the Himalayas right now that are praying 24/7? They got prayer wheels that they spin constant. They're turning those prayer wheels, and they're praying the whole time they're turning it. They're praying. But you know what? Their prayers doesn't do any good. You know what? They're not connecting to the true God in faith. You say, yeah, but that's those heathen over there. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of heathen in this country, too. And it's unfortunate that sometimes there's some of those even in the church when it comes to certain understanding about faith, because we're doing religious things, but we're not doing God things. And so I want to make sure, this is why I want to remind you about the principles of faith and the importance of faith, to make sure that we don't just get into the routine. Because I found out if I start just getting into the routine, then the gospel starts to get boring. My prayer life starts to get dry. All this stuff starts happening in my life. There is no life. There is no flow. There's nothing going out. You know what? I have to go back and look and say, wait a minute. What's going on here? Because life has a way of coming in and overtaking us and distracting us. And we, before we know it, we are just going through the motions. But we're not really hooking up with God in faith. Amen? And listen, if we don't hook up with God in faith, if we don't hook up to the promises of God in faith, then listen, I am totally at the mercy of my own resources. No, it's not. And you know, and we're not belittling your intellect or your education and all that. We applaud you for that. That's fine. But I want to tell you what, when it comes to facing the enemy and defeating Satan and the forces of darkness, when it comes to that, I want to tell you what, the natural things you have going for you will do you no good there. They're great out here in the natural realm where we deal with that. And we applaud you for that. But listen, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to fighting, Paul said this, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. And so we've got to make sure we've got spiritual weapons. But listen, spiritual weapons only activate when we do it in faith. Amen? You know, in our army, they've got all kinds of caliber of weapons. Isn't that right? From small calibers to large calibers. And I know this much about it. You can't take a 45 caliber and use a 30 caliber shell in it. It won't work. And so we cannot take the outward things of prayer and of commitment to God and giving and all the things that outwardly look right and try to use them void of the God kind of faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to connect with God. Now look there in verse 1. The classic definition the Bible gives us here. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Now here's the thing. Let's stop right there just for a moment. Anybody in here facing any kind of adversity of any kind, whether it be big or small? For the rest of you, don't worry. It's coming. That's not being negative. That's the truth. You know, I tell people this all the time. You know, people want to split hairs about who does what and who causes what and what causes what. I said, let's just get down to where we really live, and that is this. Life happens. Whatever your theology, life happens to people. Isn't that right? And the age-old mystery of why bad things happen to good people, I want to tell you what, rather than trying to figure that out, I would rather know, how do I get out of it? How do I escape it? How do I overcome the circumstance? How do I put the enemy to flight? That's what I'm more concerned about, that than trying to figure out, you know, where it came from and who did it and why did it. And, you know, and we're all, you know, in the meantime, you know, my boat's going down. You know, when your boat's taking on water, it's not the time to go back and try to investigate where, who, what put the hole in it. Maybe later. Maybe later. But right now, what I'm interested in is plugging the leak. Isn't that right? And he says, faith is the evidence, the proof of things which we do not see. And so your faith, you know, the circumstances, the adversity, those things are readily seen, aren't they? Because they affect our natural world. Sometimes they affect our physical bodies. They certainly affect our emotions. Isn't that true? I mean, you're sailing along, you know, we talked about VBS. We're sailing along in our ship. And life is going pretty good. Most of our ducks are in a row, not too many of them quacking. But all of a sudden we get up one morning and we can't even find the ducks that were in the room with us. Where did they go? Let alone being in a line. And it affects our emotion. And so what we've got to do at that time, it determines whether or not we're going to overcome or whether we're just going to cope. Come on. Too many Christians have become experts at coping. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for coping, but what I am saying is this. Coping will never give you victory. Coping will never bring you out. Are you listening? Coping. This is coping. You come home from church today. You accidentally left your door open. And while you were gone, some pigs from down on the pig farm escaped, and they come in there, about five or six big old muddy sows. They came in there, and they just slopped around in your house and just stunk it up, messed it up, and you come in, and you sit down there, and you start crying about it, and you start feeling sorry about it, and you say, well, I guess this must be God's will for me to have pigs in my house, and you just stay there with them, and you kind of let them have the run of that living room, and you just kind of stay out of their way, and you walk around the pig, and you try to spray some cologne under your nose so that it doesn't smell so bad. You're just that's coping. Come on. That's coping. Coping lets the problem stay. Coping has no confrontation involved in it. Coping is passive. Are you listening to me? And so, see, but faith is active. And so when you went home, you could definitely see those pigs, couldn't you? But I'm going to tell you what. If you're a person of intelligence, what you're going to do is you're going to get you a broom, a baseball bat, or something that's handy. You're going to open that front door, and you're going to begin to run out those pigs. You're going to begin to hit them, sock them, holler, shout at them. You're going to do, if you need to, you're going to call up somebody and say, come over here and help me run these pigs out. But you're not going to sit down and just live with the pigs. Could you imagine in that scenario? And then, you know, next week you've invited guests over for dinner. We come in your house. We open the door and we are greeted by a smell that's not too aromatic. And the first thing that would hit my mind would be, what in the world is going on here? And then the next thing I know, here's a big old fat pig comes running through. I mean, your jaw would drop, wouldn't it? You say, what are you doing? Oh, God sent these pigs. He sent these pigs, and I'm, you know, it's teaching me something. I'm learning to be patient with these pigs in my house. Then I'd say, hey, let me help you run them out right now. Isn't that right? And so here's what we're saying is, you know, we could say it this way. Pigs happen to everybody. Isn't that right? But what the difference is, if when we understand faith and our covenant promise with God, then we know how to rightly deal with the pig. Isn't that right? We run him off. We take up our position. We take up our faith in God and we run him off. He says that faith is the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Now here's the thing. There's two realities. The reality of the pigs. Boy. But then there's what? The reality that faith brings. Are you listening? Yes. See, when you look and live by faith, you are seeing a different reality. You're looking into a different realm. You're looking into a place of infinite possibility. You're looking into a realm where nothing is impossible. You're looking into a place where God lives and God abides. You're looking into a place where the blood of Jesus is powerful and effective. You're looking into a place where the Holy Ghost lives, where the Bible declares, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And here's the thing. We live in both realities at the same time. This is where the conflict comes. Isn't that right? This is where the conflict. Did you know that people who are right now who've gone on to be with the Lord and are living in heaven, you know what? They have absolutely no conflict in their reality. You know why? Number one, they're not on the earth anymore. Number two, they don't have an earth suit called a body anymore. Are you listening? They're up there. There are no devils. There are no demons. There is no fallenness up there. So they're living in what? The ultimate reality of the realm of faith, the realm of the Spirit. But here's the thing. Do we have to wait? Traditional religion has told us we have to wait till we get and know that ultimate reality that only comes that way before we can have that kind of victory. But the Bible says that our faith right now is the proof, the evidence, the conviction that that reality is present right now with us, and we can, by faith, step into that reality and we can enjoy the victory that it brings us. But remember, he said, you don't step into that reality by reason. He that cometh to God must, what? Must think. Must reason it all out. Must figure out where God came from and how he came. No, he said, he that comes to God, how do you come to God? You got to what? Faith. Faith. Then when you step in by faith, see, a lot of us, we want the reality before we step in. That's like saying, I want to get into the room before I step through the door. Well, good luck with that, so to speak. No. If you want to go from your living room, you know, to your bedroom, you're going to have to what? Step through a door. And the same thing's true with faith. If we want to get into that realm and that reality where God's abiding, where God's living, where God's power, where God's promises dwell, we have to first take a step of faith through the door. He says, it is the proof of things we do not see. See, once you go back to your house again, okay? When you're in your living room, you can't see the furniture in your bedroom, can you? But here's the thing. Soon as I step through the door of my bedroom, guess what? I can see it all. See, we're out here where the problem is, where the circumstance is, where this natural reality is speaking to us, and it's overwhelming us a lot of times, and we're out there, and it seems like this reality I'm talking about of the realm of the spirit, of the place of faith, of the impossibility, that seems like, what are you talking about? You're living in a fantasy world. Just step through the door by faith. I step through the door, then all of a sudden, I'm in a different room. I'm in a different realm. What does the Bible tell us in Colossians? That Jesus, that God through Jesus, has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into, stepping through the door, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hold your place right there, but turn over to 2nd. Corinthians 5, just for a minute. We're going to come back here. 2 Corinthians 5. Now, here's the thing. Look at it this way. The room I'm in is the room where only the circumstances that are bombarding me. That's all I can see in the room I'm in this world. That's all I can see. That's all my emotions can feel. Amen. That's all people can tell me about. Okay? But as soon as I rise up in faith, coming to God in faith, and I take that step of faith, I go through the door, and all of a sudden now I'm in a different room. Yeah, my problems and circumstances are still there, but now all of a sudden I've entered into a room where they take on their proper place, their proper proportion, because now I'm looking around by faith into the kingdom of God. I'm looking at the promises of God. I'm looking at the power of God. I'm looking at the potential of God. All of that I can see. And when I see that, when I see the realm of God, when I look at that, then all of a sudden my problems take on their proper perspective under my feet. What once looked big now has become small. Isn't that true? You know, I've said this before. You know, I remember when Cindy and I were visiting in New York City. And, of course, the Twin Towers were gone at that time. But the Empire State Building was still there. And you know what? I noticed this. If I got far enough away from the Empire State Building, even though it's over 100 stories, I could hide it behind my finger. Isn't that right? But you know what? When we got right up to the door, of that building. Isn't that right? And see, this is what I'm talking about. See, think of my index finger as your problem. This is the problems that come against us. But see, as long as we're in this natural realm, they look bigger than God. They look bigger than the promise. But see, he that cometh to God, what is the first thing faith's going to do? It's going to bring you right up to God. Wow, is God big. Wow, is God strong. Wow, is God wise. Wow, is God faithful. Isn't that true? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith. Now listen to this from the Amplified. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. I'm going to read that again. For we walk by faith. Now, what does that mean? We've all heard this. We walk by faith. That means what? I regulate my life and conduct myself by my conviction or my belief, respecting what? Man's relationship to God. If we are believers, the Bible says that we are delivered from wrath. If we are believers, the Bible says that God is not imputing our sins against us. They've all been forgiven. They've all been blotted out by the blood. If we understand our proper relationship to God in Christ, I know this, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This is what it means. He says we regulate our lives. Now, isn't it interesting? I like that word, regulate. See, if it worked on automatic, you wouldn't have to regulate it. See, we're walking our lives, we're living by faith. All of a sudden, life happens. Wham! What? You know what? My life just got out of proper regulation. Instead of regular, now it's become irregular. But how do I get it back in regulation? He says, we walk by faith according what? To our understanding of our new relationship between God and man in Christ Jesus. I understand now that this life is not just this reality, this natural reality, but there's a new reality that's been introduced into my life, and I've been introduced into that kingdom. And it's a reality that can only be experienced, can only be accessed, if you will, by faith in God, by faith in His Word, by faith in His promises. Amen? And it is a reality that is greater and is able to supersede the natural reality. This is what we're talking about, walking by faith. Walking by faith is not just believing God is. That's important. That's the first step. But see, the next step is what? I embrace a new relationship. What do we mean when somebody gets saved? You know, we use that term. So-and-so got saved. Or so-and-so got born again. That means what? They've entered into a new reality. The true reality that God intended for man to live. Amen? In relationship to God with me. And so I've stepped into that thing. Now, here's the thing. Don't step back out of it. Don't step back out of it. Here's what circumstance. Sylvain, will you stand up? Just stand out here. Okay? Now, Sylvain, he's standing in that room of new reality. In Christ, in relationship with God. Okay, I'm circumstance. I'm in this other reality. Here's what I try to do. Now, the Bible says what? Resist, so resist. See, I'm trying to pull him back in here. See, look at all this. This is really your life. This is what's real. You're not going to make it. It's never going to work for you. Look at you. This is bad. This is. See, this is what But see, the Bible says what? Resist. Resist. Do some more resisting. See? And see, he gets back in to walking by faith. He gets into walking by faith. Thank you, Sam. He's now, see, this is what, see, we want it just to just happen. No. Faith doesn't just happen. It happens on purpose. You have to believe something. Isn't that right? He says, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves. This is a daily thing. Amen. It's not just a Sunday morning, here 10:30 to 12 or wherever you, if you're visiting, wherever you, that's, no, every day we regulate our lives. We get in this book. We get in the Word. We follow and have the help and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And we regulate our lives. Amen? He says, in relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy fervor. I'm convinced of this myself. That now, this, okay, what I... We interrupt. I'm putting a parenthetical, my opinion here. I always like to let you know when I'm giving you my opinion. So this, okay, we interrupt this sermon for a short opinion. But here's the thing. I believe this with all my heart. That, listen, if you are passive, your faith is not active. He says with fervor. I know we all got different personalities, okay? And again, I told you this was my opinion, right? So we all understand. But see, I really have a hard time with the passive Christian. You know? They nothing arouses them, nothing disturbs them, nothing. You know, I'm talking about holy things, the things of God. Yeah. Or when the enemy comes in, they just lay down like a rug. I don't understand that. Where's the passion? Where's the fervor? Where's the desire? You know, in Matthew, he says in Matthew 11:12, he said the kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. And the passive take it by force. No, the violent take it by force, don't they? Listen, I want to tell you something. The life, the devil, circumstance, everything in the world will do all it can to beat the passion out of you. To whip you into submission. Come on. You just calm down. I remember when I first got saved 35 years ago, people told me, oh, just calm down. You'll calm down one of these days. Well, it hadn't got here yet. But they sure tried to. They tried to inoculate me with some kind of religious passivity. Now just calm down, brother. I know you just got saved and you're all excited, you know, because God set you free from sin and from drugs and from addiction and from all that. But now that's not really that much to be excited. I'm like, bless God, you must have just been so holy that you only had about an inch from between you and God. I had a great gulf between me and God. Jesus said, he that is forgiven much, maybe you just need to remind yourself of how much you've been forgiven. Amen? All right, back to the sermon. With trust and holy fervor, thus, by doing this, we walk not by sight or appearance. Isn't that right? All right, back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Now, here's the thing. Here's where a lot of Christians mess up. They confuse hope and faith. They confuse hope and faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So, if it lists three separate things, they can't be the same, can they? If he says faith, hope, and love, well, love's not hope, hope's not love, faith's not love, and love's not faith. They're three different things, isn't that right? And they're all important. So the first thing he says, faith is the substance of hope. What is hope? Hope's a blueprint. Faith is the house. Hope is the blueprint. Faith is the house. Faith gives substance. Isn't that right? If you've ever built a house or a building or anything, you know, they always start with a blueprint, don't they? They've got a plan. They've got a blueprint, a dream, whatever you want to call it, but it's a blueprint, isn't it? This is how we're going to do it. This is, you know, but how many you know, having that blueprint, you can't live in it. It won't keep you from the elements. It won't keep the rain off your head. It won't keep the cold out. And you can look at that, and you can, by looking at that blueprint, you can envision the house. You can think, boy, that's great. You can even, you know, take it and begin to, put, the furniture is going to go over here. And this is going to go over there, and there's going to be a door here. And all. But you know what? All of that, what? It's on paper. It's a blueprint. It's a hope. And that's needed. Are you listening to me? That's needed. Because faith is going to give substance to that. I mean, any builder that went out and you said, I want you to build me a 100,000 square foot building, but we're not going to use blueprints. Holy cow. Well, who knows what you're going to get? It might be just all one big room. No, wait a minute. That wasn't what I wanted. I wanted a living room, and I wanted a den, and I wanted a sunroom. Well, you didn't. You just said build 100,000 square. Just build it. I mean, you know, the foundation's up here, the roof's down there. I've actually seen one of those. Remember that building in Orlando where they got the upside-down building?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. So hope's important. What is it you're hoping for? Well, I'm hoping to be healed. Well, that's good. That's a good starting place. You know, I've had some people, Pastor, no, just pray for me. Well, what is it you want? Well, I just want God to bless me. Well, how can I pray that? I mean, God's got millions of blessings. How's he going to know which one you want? You've got to have some hope. So you start, but that's the starting place. It's not the end place. And hope has this aspect about it. It's always future. You know, when you look at that blueprint, you understand that. This blueprint represents something that I'm going to have in the future.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I can't live in the blueprint now. But here's the thing. If somebody doesn't act on the blueprint, you're never going to have the house. That's what faith is. Faith is acting on the blueprint. Notice what he says here. He says, it is the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Listen to this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith, in other words, hope is something that is future. It's a dream. It's a blueprint. We look at that. It's out there. But faith is something that rises up based on what? The promise of God. For example, you hope to be healed. Let's just use that as an example. You know, the enemies attacked my body. I got sickness. I got pain in my body. So I hope to be healed. Isn't that right? Anybody ever been sick and you wanted to get better? Sure. No matter what your theology is about divine healing, you wanted to get better. That's the only reason you went to the doctor, wasn't it? Sure. But here's the thing. You hope to get better. But as long as you just hope to get better, you know what? There's not going to be any of God's healing power that's going to be released into your situation. And too many people pray only with hope. That's why they keep praying, and 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 they get you to pray, and they call in for prayer, and they get other people to pray, they call to the, all of that. And see, the thing about it is, the praying looks really good, doesn't it? And it may even sound good. But here's the thing. They're praying only with hope. That's kind of like you running in an Olympic race and you've had one leg amputated. It's hard to run the race that way. hopping down there while everybody's running fast. So you need hope, but you've got to add something to your hope. What's that? Faith. You got to add faith. He said, faith is the proof of things not revealed, what? To the natural senses. This is where, again, we've got to get out of this natural room. We've got to step through the door by faith in God and in His promises. And here's the thing. Until you come, until your faith comes to the place to where you can say that, listen, the unseen is more real than the seen, it's not going to work for you. And there's only one way to get there. God's Word. You can't pray for faith. You can't have somebody anoint you with oil and give you faith. Amen. It can't be transferred from somebody that's got it to you. You've got to get your own faith. Now, as a believer, let's turn over there real quick. God gives you starter faith. That's the way I put it. Romans 12. God gives you starter faith. I remember when Cindy and I, the first home we bought, they called it a starter home. Amen? Man, we thought it was the Taj Mahal. Man. After being in a little bitty apartment with three kids, man, we got there's more than two rooms. Good. Gracious alive. Look at that. Woo. We got our own driveway. Wow. You know. It was a starter home. God gives you starter faith. Look in Romans 12. You probably know it, but it won't hurt us to read it, will it? He says, let's start in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. Oh boy, that's a message, isn't it? But be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight. For by grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn every man among you not to estimate or think of himself more highly than he ought to, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith God apportioned to him. So here's the thing. When you are saved, when you are born again, God gives you a measure or an apportion of faith. In other words, starter faith. So you have faith. Yes. If you don't have faith, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Because you can't be. By grace are we saved through faith. Isn't that? By faith we're saved through grace. You can't be saved without faith. Yeah. Just a little side note. Isn't this interesting? You know that faith works for a sinner? Yeah. Have to, wouldn't it? Because you couldn't get saved. You'd have to be a believer. If faith only worked for the believer, you'd have to get, you know, somehow you'd have to get saved before you could believe to get saved. But the reason I say that is, if it works for the sinner, how much more should it work for those who are saved? So you have starter faith on the inside of you, at the least. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have starter faith. Now here's the thing. Feed your faith. Why not? I'm always talking about the Word. Bring your Bible, bring your Bible, bring your Bible, get your Bible. If you can't find your Bible to bring it to church, you probably can't find it at home either. Hello. Come on. Mm-hmm. I bet you we can all find the refrigerator, though. Mm-hmm. I can. Boy, I'm good at that. Woo! I mean, if I come in the front door, if I come in the garage, it's like a magnet. We can find it, can't we? We need to be that way about this. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, he used to call it faith food. I like that. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? It's what is going to feed your faith. And what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. So here's the thing today. Take the starter faith, if you're a believer, take that starter faith God's given you and begin to feed it. Because you realize this, that by faith I access all that God has, all that the kingdom of God has for me. That realm where nothing is impossible. That realm where God says, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That realm where God says, I'll be your peace that passes all understanding. And listen, that doesn't mean that life won't happen to you anymore. Are you listening? Oh yeah, life's still going to happen. But there's going to be a big difference between life happening to you without faith and without understanding it, than it is when life happens and you can just slip out of that reality into the God reality. And by faith, perceiving those things which are real, but they're not evident, I can just step out of that room and step in to the promise of God. But here's the thing. Let me remind you as I close. You can't do that passively. See, you can't stay. Remember the example I gave about the rooms? You can't stay in this room where all you can see is your circumstance and hope somehow that God is just going to invert those rooms. Now that room's become this room and this room's become that room and I didn't even have to move. I didn't have to do anything. No, we have to do something. You know, and as believers, we should realize this. We should realize this, that if I want God's best, I cannot always rely on someone else's faith.
That's right.
Yes, we'll do everything we can to help you. We'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. We'll do everything we can to get God's best to you. But many times, you know, I've had people ask me, well, why doesn't this happen or that happen or the other happen? Listen, there's only so far we can take one another until we make a decision and we make a commitment and we say, you know what? I'm going to build my faith up. I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk by faith and not keep walking by only what I can see. You know, you can tell, if you talk to people long enough, you can tell which reality they're living in.
Yep.
You know, if you're only living in this natural reality, it won't be long before you're going to have a whine in your voice. You're going to begin to feel sorry for yourself. And all you're going to talk about is what this outward man can see and touch. But if you're a person of faith, oh yeah, you'll recognize the circumstances are real, but you know what? I step into a realm where that takes a back seat. And God in His Word and His promises, they take the front seat. And my eyes are focused on Him, on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And I begin to what? Regulate my life under God. Bringing it what? Into conformity to God's plan and to God's will. Amen. Turn it on.
Here's the thing. We want to make sure that we're being changed by the Word of God. And you've all heard the Word today. And your life can be changed. But you have to receive it and you have to act upon it too. And I know there are bunches of you, at least half of you, that you're in that room right now with the pigs. And you don't want to be in there. Who would want to be in there? You want to be in the other room. But what was he saying? He was saying that you have to do something. And God will tell each and every one of us what it is he wants you to do, because faith without works is dead. There is something that God has laid on your heart, but you've been reluctant for whatever reason to do it. You have to make...
Or afraid.
Or afraid to do it.
We've all been
but
there.
You have to make that... There's something... Not, it may be something spiritually, but it could be something in the natural. You know, I've always believed this, that, you know, God expects us to do in the natural what we can do for ourselves. He's going to do in the supernatural what we can't do for ourselves. And he's waiting for us to make that step of faith. And for whatever reason, you've been reluctant to do it. Either you've been told not to, or the devil's convinced you if you do it, something else is going to happen, or, you know, and that's fear. But you know in your heart what it is God wants you to do. But you have to act upon it. If you want God to come through for you in your situation, he's expecting something of you. Amen? Amen.
If that's you, if what Cindy was sharing, if that speaks to you, I want you, if you would, just stand up right at your seat as an act of faith. Stand up in your seat. Nobody has gotten any problems going on. My God. I must have just fell off the cabbage truck. Come on, people.